Welcome to the Focus and Chill podcast, where we discuss productivity tactics that work for neurodivergent individuals.
Every episode, we interview guests with lived experience of neurodiversity who also have a solid productivity and habit game, and pass the learnings on to you, our wise and benevolent audience.
We're your hosts, Jeremy and Joey.
I'm Joey, and I coach creatives to get moving on their most ambitious projects through the power of solid habits and strong focus. I'm also a perpetual student of psychology and perpetually on a quest to a one-armed chin-up.
And I'm Jeremy, a neurospicy software developer turned startup founder, building the Focus Bear app to help people with ADHD and autism thrive at work. My cool party trick is leaving parties early so I can get to sleep in time for my two-hour-long morning routine. The Focus and Chill podcast is brought to you by Focus Bear, a habit and productivity app that makes healthy habits and deep work the path of least resistance. If you have a tendency to check emails or scroll through Instagram first thing in the morning, but long to develop a meditation and exercise habit first thing, Focus Bear can help you. The app blocks distractions on all your devices and guides you through your habits one at a time. Throughout the day, Focus Bear assists you to stay in deep work by blocking websites and apps that are unrelated to your chosen focus mode. Life's not all about work though. You'll be prompted to take regular breaks to rest your eyes and stretch your muscles. At the end of the day, Focus Bear helps you switch off. Work-related apps get hidden so you can unwind and sleep well. Check out the app by going to focusbear.io. Welcome to episode 52 of the Focus and Chill podcast. Today, we're going to do a special episode with just Joey and I, and we're going to be talking about the year that was and the year that will be. We'll be talking about reflection. And one of the interesting things is that Joey doesn't believe in New Year's resolutions. I think that's a good way to start. Do you want to tell us about your attitude and why you hate New Year's resolutions so much?
Yeah, attitude's a good word for it, isn't it? It's the year of attitude. My whole take is that if you really wanted to make a change, you wouldn't wait until New Year's Day to do it. And so I feel like by waiting for what feels like to me an arbitrary point on your calendar to start making a change that is apparently really important to your life, it's just not congruent. I think probably about 10 years ago, I threw out the idea of setting New Year's resolutions for myself. I'm not saying that they're completely trash, but I don't think they work for me. And I actually wonder, it's an open question, if you're one of those people that set New Year's resolutions and you find that you're lagging on them come February, March, it might be a chance to re-examine the way you set annual goals. And who says they have to be annual? A lot of my strongest goals tend to be quarterly rather than annual. That might be something you might want to try as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because I have no philosophical objection to New Year's resolutions. I find something nice about the 1st of January. It's a tradition for my wife and I. The 31st, we look back on the year that was. And the 1st, we do vision boarding. And that's a really fun experience that bonds us together. However, I feel like it's good for the relationship, but I don't know how helpful it is in that a year is too long for me. So much can change in a year that it's hard for me to set goals that are actually going to be specific enough that I can actually hit them hard. I really do like the quarterly cadence. There's a book called The 12-Week Year where the author makes that point that a year is too long, that it's easy to do what you were saying, get to February or March and not to have made any progress because there's this sense that there's so much time available.
Yes.
I can certainly confess that on my vision board for last year, I had set up my garden and put in garage shelving and I did it on the 28th of December. So I got it done, but there was no reason why it had to wait that long. Or there was kind of a reason because I hadn't moved into the house until about June, but I could have done it in maybe July.
You highlighted what I think a pretty important point though, Jeremy, in that you're setting the goals with your wife. So you've got like you and your wife are essentially forming an accountability group or like a goals group. Me, I'm a bit of a lone wolf. I tend to just set my goals by myself and it might be a little bit of a narcissistic thing in that like the goals, I set them around my birthday. So it's not like I got to collaborate with anyone necessarily. So that's a good point. That's a good pro for New Year's resolutions in that if you are setting goals with someone, for example, if you've got a business partnership as well, it might be a common point at which you can sync with them. If like, Jez, your birthday is in
April,
right? Yeah, that's right. Mm. So if you and I were in a business partnership, my birthday is in November, yours is in April. We're trying to set business goals according to our birthday. It just doesn't work really. If you have that common date, then it can work. The other thing is, why does it have to be January 1st? It could be the date that we started the business together, or it could be the date that we started this podcast together, or something like that, right? So I like the idea of intentionality. And I think when it comes to New Year's resolutions, I feel like there's a little bit of a lack of intentionality in terms of waiting for the 1st of January when everyone else is doing the same thing. But that's just me. And that probably sounded horribly judgy as well.
No, I think some of the judgment is deserved, because I think there's research studies showing that most people don't stick to them. But I think that there can be some reasons around that, that maybe people are hungover on January 1st and they're not really capable of setting very clear and specific goals. I believe that's one of the problems there, that there's often resolutions such as, I want to lose weight, but without making it specific and not having the scaffolding associated with it in terms of leading versus lagging goals. What are the activities needed to get there?
Or the why, or a strong enough why for it, like zooming out and actually thinking about the context. Why do you want to lose weight? Often it's because of health reasons or wanting to get more energy, when really maybe a more ecologically sustainable. I think those are the right words, but for some reason I was thinking environment when I was saying it. But like, from a like your broader ecosystem perspective, maybe you need to exercise more to get that energy without trying to conform to some arbitrary standard of like how heavy or how light you should be.
Fit at any size.
Yeah, exactly. Fit at any size. I like that. That's the first time I've heard that.
That does make a lot of sense, because there can be, I guess, desires to set goals because maybe on January 1st, if you're like me, you just had a lot of time with family, and then there can be a lot of comparison that happens at that point, and maybe they're not actually my goals. I just feel like I should impress that cousin that suddenly arrived in a Ferrari. Curse you, cousin.
Yeah, and that's where that whole desire, that whole thing of mimetic desire comes in, right? Like, you're wanting to want what other people have rather than playing to your own scorecard. And so that's something that's I think probably a con for New Year's resolutions, in that you probably have so many people saying, new year, new me, I'm going to go to this fitness boot camp, or I'm going to join this diet cohort. And maybe they don't actually really want to lose the weight. Like, maybe they're just doing it because everyone else is doing it, and they get swept up in this whole hysteria. That sounds like a bit of a dramatic word, doesn't it? But like, zeitgeist? I don't know. That's probably even more dramatic. I don't know.
It is hysteria. I love it.
It is hysteria. I love it.
It can seem like that. Apparently, I don't go to gyms, but apparently that's often what it's like in January, that it's really full.
Yeah, exactly.
I did go to actually a Pilates gym. My wife decided to enroll in Pilates, and we did our first session on January 1st. I wasn't intending to go. I just walked her there, and then the instructor abducted me and forced me to go to the class as well.
I got to get their sales script. However, they managed to really win on that one. Yeah.
Well, it's basically, slick. Do you want to do a free class? Already here.
Yeah. How can you say no to that?
What you were just saying there in terms of following the herd also makes me think about who to share those goals with.
Yes.
You were talking about being a lone wolf. For a long time, I was really into the idea of being quite public with my goals.
Yep.
But there's a TED talk, and I think some research around that, if you share it in the wrong way, that it actually has a perverse effect.
Yes.
But if you say something like, I want to run a marathon this year, and other people are like, wow, that's so cool, I can't believe you're going to do that.
You're getting the rewards before you lean into any of the discomfort. Yeah, exactly.
But if you tell the right type of people, then they're going to be on your case, and they're going to be like, how's the training going?
You
said you're going to be doing your marathon. How long was your long run on Sunday?
Yes, those are the kind of people that you want. That's the kind of herd that you want in your life. I guess I didn't call them a herd. I call them a tribe. So, I think it's probably easy for it to sound like we're contradicting ourselves here, because I'm contradicting myself in that. On one hand, I'm saying don't follow the herd. On the other hand, I was like telling Jeremy it's really good that he's coordinating with his wife, and we were talking about these cohorts where you hold each other accountable and stuff like that. So I think I'd probably say that you want to be really intentional with the people you surround yourself with. You want to be intentional with the influences that you're plugging into your goals. I should probably say many people, I think, aren't really that intentional with it. They basically just go, like, I saw in an ad that everyone's doing this, and so like this gym is offering a like 50% off for like your first 3 months free or something. So I'm just going to jump into it.
Whereas, sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up. Actually, that's quite a lot, isn't it? First 3 months free. I think that's a lot, isn't it?
Where's that gym?
I don't know. I don't go to the gym.
I think an even more powerful way of doing it is if the other people are going to be doing the activities with you.
Yes.
That's when it's really effective. I found, I guess, maybe moving into the reflection part of our last year, one of the things that worked really well for me looking back on it was training with a running club rather than training on my own. And also working with a personal trainer has been really good for my resistance training workouts.
Yes.
So I think that's a key insight for me. Joey has a nice format of wins, insights, and pivots. Do you want to explain that format for your reviews?
So I've got a few different time frames. I'll try not to go into too much detail because this is a very deep area. It's something I've been working on since 2008. I've been refining it. So I generally review weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annually. And so with the exception of weekly reviews, there is basically what's meant to be a high-level summary of the reviews, which I call the story of that period. So the story of the month, the story of the quarter, the story of the annual, or story of the year. And the it's made up of three characteristics, which is the wins, the insights, and the like pivot points. So wins, what are the things that I can give myself a pat on the back for over that time period, over the month, for example? Insights, what are the things that I've learned? What are the things that I've taken away? And then pivots, sometimes based off the insights and the wins, or it might be based off things that I was trying to achieve I didn't quite get to. So what am I going to do differently in the next time frame? So if I'm reviewing the month, what am I going to do differently for the next month? And if I'm reviewing the year, what am I going to do differently in the next year?
I like that. I like including the wins. I often forget to do that. And then it
very
can
easy
be
to do.
A bit depressing.
Yes, so much.
Are you able to give us the skinny on what your wins, insights, and pivots were for the last year?
Yeah, sure. I might just give you my top three from each. Each of them probably, I'm just looking at them. Each of them probably about seven, I think. I'll just do maybe the top three. So when I released my book last year, I was really happy about Dilemmas to Decisions, a short guide on decision-making for anyone that doesn't know. I increased my workout. So I was doing 4 workouts a week, but I increased them to 5 workouts a week. And my bar for what I call the completed workout used to be 8 sets per exercise or a personal best. But now I've moved it up to 12 sets an exercise or a personal best. And I also increased the workouts as well. So used to just try and work a single muscle group, but this for the past year, I started working out 2 muscle groups per workout, which I'm really proud of. Also started the Plucky Jester as well and started getting my first dollars in, which is very important in any new business. And then also starting my newsletter, which has been really good. And I guess something I really pat myself on the back on is as part of starting the business, I had to start getting into social media, which I'd previously just like tried to put into a box in the attic. I didn't really want to touch it anymore. But in order to promote the business, I had to start delving into it. And initially it went off the rails, as you can imagine. Someone just getting their first taste of social media after a little while, but I'm really pleased with how I brought that under control. So those are my wins. In terms of insight, for those of you that might not know me that well, video games are one of my big vices. I realized that with my video game playing, I get the most satisfaction out of playing it if I actually play for a little while, then take a break, and then play for a little while. So for example, I might play for an hour, take a very short break, maybe 10 minutes. And if I can get out and walk around the block or something, that's really good. And then come back and play the next hour. And for a bang for your buck pleasure type perspective, that is just really good. That was a real game changer, if pun intended, in that respect. Also, I really tried to adopt the mantra of life is happening for you, not to you. But that's just like in the face of some challenges. And there were some challenges that came up last year that were particularly difficult. And just always trying to remind myself, life is happening to you. Life's happening for you, not to you. And trying to find the the insights behind the challenges. It's kind of related to Ryan Holiday's turning the obstacle upside down. The third insight I want to talk about is I've realized that a limiting factor in my life, something limiting my success, is a lack of humility, which means how that was showing up last year was that I was just trying to do everything by myself, from designing a book cover to like writing the book, promoting it, all those things. And I started realizing, you know what, like, just because I can do something doesn't mean I should, because being able to do something and getting something done excellently is two very different things. From the insights perspective, that's what I got from the last year. And in terms of pivoting, they were related quite a lot to the insights. So it's cultivating self-healing. So which means whenever I've gone into a challenging situation, really rely on my fundamentals, like going for walks in nature, extra meditation, exercise. And the hard thing is when you're thrown off kilter, it can be easy to throw those things out the window, but you have to be very intentional. By taking on a lot of discomfort and moving into challenge, you increase your ability to do it, but you set yourself back if you don't allow yourself time to self-heal. So I really lent into that. Oh, sorry, I'm really going to try and lean into that this year. The other thing is around cultivating anxiety management. So whenever I am anxious about something, and I'm a naturally fairly anxious person, I'm trying to lean into taking note of the signal, because often anxiety is a signal that things aren't quite going according to plan, and trying to think about, okay, so what can I take steps to do here? There's a really good book that influenced this called Cognitive Dominance by, I think it's Mark McLaughlin. And the other thing is to diminish a victim mindset. So there were a few things that happened last year where I moved into a bit of a victim mentality and an external locus of control, and really diminished a lot of my personal power. And I don't want to give that away. That integrates quite a lot with that whole idea of life is happening for you, not to you, and trying to find how you can leverage this to your advantage. So yeah, sorry, that was meant to be the skinny. That was only like three of the points, but for anyone that's not sold on the benefits of reflection, absolute riches that you can get from your own experiences. And I hope I've sold that to you.
That's really powerful, the way you described that. I'm curious about with the pivots, the first two, well, they all seem interrelated. Part of it, I guess, is a mindset change. But for the cultivating self-healing, is that a difference in how you approach meditation and time to heal? Or is it just about giving yourself more time for it?
It's probably the second one. It's probably recognizing how important that is, prioritizing it. Because I don't know about you, Jeremy, but like whenever I'm throwing off kilter when I'm saying off kilter or on tilt, what I mean is I'm not operating from my higher self. And for whatever reason, maybe it's self-inflicted in that like I haven't had a good night's sleep because I've been up playing video games, or it could be some external thing. When I'm in that state, it's easy for me to let the fundamentals go, because it's just like I'm at a low energy state. The last thing I want to do is do something that doesn't feel easy, something that feels challenging. The cosmic joke is that often these are things that are challenging. They will also fill your cup as well. It's like what I call the difference between self-indulgence and self-care. Self-indulgence for me is things like playing video games. They'll make me feel good in the moment, but afterwards, no real substance to it. Self-care are things that often don't feel great in the moment. You can learn to love them, but like they probably don't feel great in the moment. They probably don't give you that dopamine hit instantly, but they really recharge your battery and allow you to start looking after yourself, and it becomes a virtuous cycle. Yeah. Anyway, I feel like I've talked a lot about my review, Jess. Tell me a bit about yours.
I did mine in a slightly different format, but on the 31st of December, my wife and I did a life wheel.
Oh, nice.
So that's where you think about the different domains of your life. The one on this wheel is, it's got personal growth and learning, spirituality, money and finances, career and work, health and fitness, fun and recreation, environment, community, family and friends, partner and love. And then you score yourself. And then I also basically did the wins, pivots and insights associated with that.
Nice.
And I won't go into all of them, but maybe I'll do the bottom two and the top two.
Okay.
The top two were your family and friends and partner and love. Mm-hmm. And I think compared to the year before, I've made more time for spending time with my family and friends. Part of it is I'm now in Melbourne where most of my family is, and that's made a big difference in just being able to easily go to family events, not having to fly to get here.
Yes.
And also with my wife, just spending more time with her, I've made a lot of adjustments to my work schedule. So I'm finishing work at a more sensible time and actually pulling my weight a lot more with housework and spending more quality time together. And that's made a big improvement to how I'm feeling and how she's feeling. Definitely some improvements there.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
And then the ones that are on the bottom are... two. One is money and finances, and the other is health and fitness. Maybe I'll talk about the fitness one there, which has been quite interesting for me because I've been, over the last 12 months, I've put effort into health, but I plateaued in terms of if I look at how much weight I'm lifting and how fast I can run compared to December 2022. I'm actually less fit right now than I was back then. A lot of that has been due to injuries, partly injuries and also disruptions to my schedule. Travel was part of the issue where there was a period in the second half of 2023 where I was traveling at least once per month. I think there was one month where I flew about three times.
Mm.
And that, looking back on it, that really interrupted a lot of things for me. It meant that I wasn't consistent with my training. And then when I got back, I tried to go back with the same intensity training with my running club again, and I got injured.
Yes.
And that's a real insight for me that I need to be very careful about how I'm approaching workouts, that especially because in the past I have had a very high level of fitness and now I'm pretty fit, but I'm not as fit as I was before. And I'm training with people who are very, very fit. And that's dangerous because the ego kicks in and I want to keep up with the 16-year-old boys who are who are half my age.
Yes.
Try and keep up with them on the sprints. And that's how I did my last injury.
Yeah.
So it's a learning for me. And I didn't injure myself with resistance training, but just the lack of consistency has meant that I haven't progressed as much as I would have liked to. So it's something that I'm really mindful of now and adjusting also, similar to you, with it sounded like you adjusted the frequency and the intensity of your workouts. I'm doing that now, where in the past I was doing one workout per week with my personal trainer for an hour. And I don't think that was good for me. I think an hour was too long and the actual quality of the workouts wasn't actually there because I'd often be a bit slow starting. I was dreading, especially the second half of the workout.
Yes, yes.
And then as I got to the second half of the workout, I'd take lots of breaks and I wouldn't really push as hard. I've changed it now. So I'm doing three sessions per week with him for half an hour.
Oh, nice.
That's been way better.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I heard this really interesting, I think it was a James Clear quote recently, where he was talking about there's like such a huge difference between how you feel before you do your first set and how you feel, after you do your first set. The first set of your workout is like such a big mood changer. By doing it three times a week as opposed to once a week, you're getting that hit maybe more often.
Yeah. And I'm doing bay swimming on the days that I'm not doing weights training. And
that's
really good for my mental health as well. And I think also good for keeping, rather than just repetitively lifting weights all the time, having a bit more range of motion. I like that idea that it's partly, even though I didn't necessarily progress with my fitness, it was good for my mental health the whole way through. And it makes me think about, what do I do in the first set then? Because there are some workouts, especially back day, I find it uncomfortable doing bent over rows. And that's often the first exercise that my trainer will choose when it's back day. And I'm thinking now I should start with a lightweight because I feel okay if it's a lightweight. But he'll ask me to start relatively heavy.
Right.
I don't feel good doing that. And I think it actually contributes to one of the other negative things that has come up in the last year where I've been getting, it's probably always been an issue, but I've been trying to address it, neck and back pain. And I think part of that may be bad form during workouts, potentially because I've been lifting too heavy. So I'm adjusting that. And that's why looks like I'm wearing a backpack. I've got my back brace on to encourage me to sit up tall.
If you kind of squint, it looks like you're actually wearing your chair. So like it's like a backpack chair. I think what you're saying makes sense. There's like two schools of thought here, right? One is what you're talking about, which is you try and ease yourself into something that you're that is uncomfortable. I don't know what your relationship with your workout is, but I tend to find my workouts to be uncomfortable. Try to find excuses to not do them and stuff like that. So you can either try and ease yourself into it so that you're like essentially boiling the frog, which is that metaphor of like you put a frog into a pot of boiling water and it jumps out. But if you put it into warm water and slowly turn up the heat, it will stay in there until it gets boiled. I'm not sure if we want to really boil a frog. But
you want vegan joy.
I am. The other one is eating the frog, right? Which is basically you do the hard thing up front, which in your case, Jeremy, would probably be like doing the thing that you didn't like first up when your motivation is probably highest, and then doing the more fun workouts afterwards. Like you can basically look forward to it. Yeah, I don't know how to resolve it really. I just try to do the hard thing first, but yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because with the analogy might not be perfect between what Brian Tracy talks about or who originally gave that quote, which was probably around creative expression and doing hard mental labor versus physical labor.
Physical.
I think it's probably, given my tendency for injuries, I think I probably need to be careful about warming up. I'm going to experiment with it anyway, doing more of the soft productivity, the warm up, boiling the frog approach to my workouts, because I do think I enjoy it more. And I feel better about, normally what I'll do is three sets where the first set is quite lightweight and then increase it in the second set. And then the third set is more where I'm trying to go beyond what I did the week before. That approach is probably better for my body and maybe better for my mind. I'll find out.
Probably also, like you said, you mentioned body. I was thinking specifically about your heart as well, right? Because if you do something that's lighter weight, maybe higher reps, you can maybe get your heart rate up before you actually launch into doing something heavy. Rather than going from a cold start to doing something heavy, it might not be great for your circulatory system.
Hmm.
Gives you more motivation as well when your heart's racing, when you've done some high intensity stuff or some cardio. As much as I don't like cardio, it works.
Yeah. For sure. All right. Well, it's time to get into the year. Hope everyone here is looking at their birthday and changing the calendar event for that day to party at the end, plan the rest of the year beforehand. I'm gonna do that now. It'll be a good reflection point for me to look at how have I gone working on my New Year's resolutions up until that point. We adjust. I got my monthly plan. I might do a not quite quarterly, but a 4-month plan between now and my birthday. I like that idea.
Rockin'.
We'll wrap the show with that.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Focus and Chill podcast. To listen to other episodes, jump onto podcast.focusbear.io. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or you know someone who'd be a good fit, email us at team@focusbear.io. Otherwise, stay focused, stay chilled, and peace out.